Jeffrey DeRocher calling in. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can, Jeffrey. We'll be getting started here in a second.
Okay, I was having some trouble with the audio and video, so thank you.
This laptop. I got rid of my iPad, and this is my computer, and I can take it with me. I got tired of trying to convert from the Apple stuff to the, and then my iPad was smaller. It didn't have a full keyboard on it. I just didn't like it. Yeah, and I love Apple products, but for some reason the use of the Microsoft to the Apple, to me, doesn't work. I don't like it. Yeah, same. We're still trying to get started, right? Yeah. To do your email on it stuff. Oh, okay. All right, good morning, everyone. It is a little after 11 o'clock on Friday, December 17th. We've got 7 days till Christmas, 7 shopping days. Today we're gathered for a formal hearing on the Rugby Wind LLC application to have an extension for the light mitigating technology requirements. This is case number PU-05-47. I am the chair of the commission, Julie Fedorchak. I will be serving as the administrative hearing officer for this hearing. Also present with me are commissioners Randy Crispin and Brian Crosius. And so we have our staff, PSC staff, Brian Johnson in the room, and the PUD director of our Public Utilities Division, Patrick Vaughn, is also in the room. We'll be running this hearing similar to other formal hearings that we have, where we'll ask the company to come forward with your witnesses first after we do all the introductions. And then bring forward a witness, present that witness's testimony, we'll cross-examine the witness, and then you can bring forward somebody else and do the same thing. So that'll be the format of this this hearing, and I don't believe staff will have any witnesses. So it should just be a matter of getting through the company's witnesses, however you so desire, when we get to that, and having some questions and give and take. So with that, I will first ask my colleagues if they have opening comments, then we'll go to the company for you to introduce your team and your witnesses and then call on your first witness. But first, Commissioner Crispin, do you have any opening comments?
I do not, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Crosius.
No comments.
All right, I don't have any comments either. So we will turn it over to the company. I'm not sure who is taking the lead here, but I see, Barb Jacobs looks like you might be the leader. I'll turn it over to you since you're the largest person on the screen, and you can introduce your team.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm not going to be the lead, but I'm turning on my video because I think I'm the only one that can do that so far. Just want to make sure you know there's real humans online here. So. My name is Barb Jacobs. I do government affairs for Avangrid Renewables. And taking the lead today is going to be Jeffrey DeRocher. He's of general counsel for the company. We also have Peter Landoni, who manages the Rugby Wind Farm, and Sarah Emery, who manages our permitting affairs. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Barb.
Thank you, Barb. Hi, this is Jeffrey DeRocher. Sorry for some of the technical difficulties. I think some of our systems may be blocking microphone and video access, and I was able to get through by telephone, and I apologize for those glitches. And as far as witnesses, I was going to provide a summary and an update on behalf of the company. And we have other members of the team that Barb introduced that would be available if there's any factual matters that I would need their support on, or if there are any questions from the commission that they could be best suited to respond to. If that's acceptable, I'll proceed with the update.
Yeah, if you could, Jeffrey, just so that we can keep this in an orderly manner, we also do take public input at the end. You provide your information, we'll ask questions of you. If you can't answer the questions, then you can defer those to a later witness and then call that person up to address those, please.
Very good. Thank you. A few other procedural matters. I'd like to follow up the hearing with a written summary of the information we're providing orally, if that would be helpful. And if so, I'd just ask that that be added to the record.
All right, we can do that.
It's possible that may not be necessary, but I wanted to make sure that got in before the hearing closed.
All right, and then we'll have to talk at the end about the time frame for that, but we can get through the hearing first and then discuss that at the end.
Thank you. We've submitted a petition. It was submitted in early November, and I think it speaks for itself, but we do have updates since then that we'd like to provide. Important component, I think, of that petition, in addition to the request, is the Exhibit A, which provided a status report as of November 2nd on our progress, Rugby Wins progress toward meeting the deadline for light mitigation. That was submitted in anticipation of some potential delivery delays from what was originally anticipated much earlier in the year. That uncertainty now only relates to one piece of equipment. And to just describe the radar system, the major components generally is it consists of an antenna that sits on top of a steel tower and a cabinet at the base, which contains the electronics equipment that runs the system. The antenna has been constructed and has been shipped. It's on its way here from Denmark, where it was manufactured. We're estimating that it will arrive in a warehouse in Chicago on December 24th. I don't know if Santa is directly involved, but it's certainly on my wish list to get that shipped on time. The cabinet unit is the unit that we're anticipating will not be delivered by December 31st. The construction of the cabinet is completed, and they are testing it at the factory. That's estimated to be completed today. And one of the potential delays that we saw was with shipping of that unit. The ocean freight was estimated to take 5 to 8 weeks, and our fear was that it would not arrive until late January or February, and so we avoided putting that unit on the boat, and we paid for expedited freight by air. So that would be shipped on Monday and is estimated to arrive the first week of January. So unfortunately, that one component is going to delay the full assembly by the deadline, but we're hoping to install it as soon as it arrives in the first week of January. So at that point, all components for the tower and lighting would be on site. and we have a contractor who would install at that time. There is a weather installation plan. They have a climate-controlled tent of sorts that they can enclose around the cabinet to do the electrical work that's involved. And it is still weather dependent because there are humidity requirements. They aren't able to work if the humidity is above a certain level, and certainly snow meets that requirement. But there is a plan to, you know, install that immediately upon arrival. In our petition, we had indicated we saw some supply issues with switches that are needed for the lights that go on the top of the tower. And we have resolved that by using switches that came from our company inventory for another project. And so that availability has been resolved. We have completed a lease amendment with the landowner and executed that the lease of the land that's needed for the tower location. Rugby Wind has commenced civil construction at the site. The service road to the radar tower has been completed. There a gate installed, and the concrete for the tower base has been poured. The power and fiber lines are due to be installed next week, and the steel for the tower has been manufactured and being stored in a warehouse to protect it from weather until the date of installation. And then the star of the show is the lights, the ADLS compliant lights. More than half of them have been installed. I'm estimating about 30 of 58 lights have been installed as of today, and all 58 of the lights will be installed by next week. We have, you know, crews working over the weekend to complete that, and we've authorized overtime pay, whatever is required to get the installation advanced. As far as permitting, we've provided some permitting summaries in the past, and we've gotten through the FCC NEPA process. That license is still in progress, but is aligned with the, we're hopeful that we can get it at the time of installation, the operations permit. So estimated early January as well. And so I think in general, we're hopeful that everything will be in progress the first week of January for installation. Combined with that January delivery date of the cabinet, the installation time and time for commissioning, there's about a 3-week period that the manufacturer requires for commissioning, and the old lights stay on until the new lights are fully operational and tested. So those things in combination with the weather uncertainty, unfortunately, we still do need an extension of time, and we are putting all our resources into minimizing any delay beyond the end of year deadline. So that is basically a summary of where we are, and the short story is that we will be installing everything in the first week of January, and are hopeful to have it that 3-week testing period completed in February.
Okay. Does that conclude your presentation, Jeffrey?
It does, unless there are any questions that the commission would have. And, you know, I can take a first shot at that, or I can call one of our other team members.
We'll have you take the first shot since you're already queued up. So, Commissioner Christman, do you have questions for Jeffrey? And again, if you can't answer them, just keep a note, defer them to somebody else, and then they can come up after you've had a chance to answer the questions from all of us.
Certainly.
Commissioner Christman is getting his Commissioner Zell.
I guess my only question for you and I, are there, do you have anything to add as far as your thoughts on the company essentially waiting and banking on a federal agency to approve LIDS, an alternative light mitigation strategy, for several years after this requirement was put into law, and then now in the last months hurrying along with this and expecting to not face consequences for missing the deadline?
Certainly, and I think that, we certainly began the planning for this several years ago. I know that we were working on it in 2020, and we don't have ratepayers, we don't have ratepayer recovery, but we do have an obligation to our shareholders, and I think the judgment was made that it was prudent to seek an alternative technology that costs, you know, a third of the system that we are now installing. Late in 2021, I think we were aware of those, the lack of approval of LIDS being an issue, and began preparing a petition. I think it was in early 2021. We submitted that in March, seeking an extension for the purpose of trying to obtain that technology. That petition was denied on June 9th, even before that request for an extension was denied, we had submitted a letter in May indicating that we felt we had to move on with the ADLS technology, and that was based on the estimates that our vendors gave us for availability. And our plan was to install it in November of this year, before the weather complicated things. And I can't say that it wouldn't have been better to install it sooner. Some of the supply chain issues did push us out, and we have been pulling out all the stops to minimize that delay. So I don't think that there was any intention to avoid consequences. I think the intention always was to meet the deadline, and unfortunately we have a situation where we're slipping briefly past that deadline, and that is the nature of our request for an extension. In November or late October, we realized that some of these supply issues could cause a delay, and we submitted the petition, but while all the while still working to meet the deadline.
Does Avangrid have a facility with ADLS technology, or am I thinking of someone else?
We do have a system in Vermont with ADLS technology. I think it was the first one installed. It was certainly the first one installed for our company, and the manufacturer for that unit no longer is in business. And so we've been working with the existing vendors, and the vendor we're working with now is Terma. But that original system that we installed, that vendor is no longer in business.
Okay, so then I was sure I had made a note of it. I've just been looking here since the end of your testimony for it and didn't find it. So then I am remembering the right one. And I think previously it had been suggested that the reliability of that was not that great in something that you presented to us like last spring. Has that gotten any better?
Well, that was, I don't think that was a report specific to that project. Certainly, that was the information that we had received anecdotally. I think from other projects that are not ours. We also had a project that had the system installed that we sold that project. So we don't have the current operating knowledge with respect to that. But I think that was really an issue that affected our inclination to go with LIDS, because our concern was that if we installed ADLS and the lights essentially didn't work, were illuminated more than was anticipated, that it wouldn't have as much of an effect as the LIDS system. So I think that was an issue that was more of a comparison of ADLS to LIDS. Okay. And so we haven't really considered that a factor here.
So then at your Vermont facility, other than your contractor not being available anymore and having to switch, the facility itself is working pretty well, would you say? Or how would you evaluate how well that one is working?
I would have to defer that question to one of our other folks. I'm not personally aware that there are issues with its operation. It's reported that it's working.
Okay, and it's not real important for this case either. I thought, well, we have people with experience in it, I would inquire. But if you don't know, that's all right. And you've answered all my questions. I have no others, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, Commissioner Crosses, questions for you?
All right, thank you. When I'm looking at, it was a filing that you just recently made, November 2nd of 2021. You have an exhibit within that filing. It's the time frame of when procurement occurred with the ADLS system. Knowing that the deadline was in place, you know, approximately 4 years ago, I don't see really what happened prior to May of this current year of 2021. Were you going down the ADLS road prior to exploring LIDS?
Yes, prior to 2021, we certainly were aware of ADLS, evaluated it as one of our options, and we were pursuing the LIDS option for a variety of reasons, and had acquired, you know, cost estimates, vendor, you know, availability from vendors, as well as you know, keeping that in place as our alternative to LIDS.
Okay. Would it be, it seems to me, and maybe this isn't the right characterization, so please tell me if it's not. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Did you stop running the two, it seems like you stopped running the two processes, one for ADLS and then another one for LID, that they never really ran parallel to one another, that you were looking at ADLS, then stopped looking at ADLS, moved over to LIDS, exploring that as an option, finding out that we're not going to receive FAA approval, nor was anyone on LIDS, and then shifted back to ADLS. Was there ever a time where you continued to run both, exploring both systems parallel to one another simultaneously?
Yeah, I would say that we were working on both paths simultaneously in 2020. And, you know, while LID was our preferred approach, we had everything lined up so that when we, when our extension request was denied in June, and actually a few weeks before that, we quickly switched to issuing the procurement process, the internal procurement process for ADLS, immediately, and entered into those contracts to acquire that equipment. So I would say that the two were going in parallel, the entire time. They were our two options. And when we made the switch earlier this year, that was really to exit the LIDS route and proceed with ADLS.
Okay, and then can you tell me again what component, specific component, is being shipped?
There is an antenna that I believe is in the air now to be arriving early next week, as well as a cabinet, the essentially the computer, the electronics, the brain of the system, which is being, the final testing is being conducted today, and then that will be air freighted out on Monday.
Okay, and where would that fall under, again, the exhibit A of the 11, November 2nd of 2021 filing? You have procured ADLS radar tower and ADLS radar. That was on August 27th. ADLS tower fencing, lighting was in September of this current year. The components you're describing, would they be fall under the radar tower and ADLS radar?
Yeah, the tower is separate. That's an engineered steel structure designed to accept the radar unit, but the cabinet would fall under the ADLS radar.
Okay.
Unit. It's one of the two components. The antenna and the cabinet are the ADLS.
So when it says procured ADLS radar on August 27th of 2021, is that when you actually place the order with the vendor?
That is when our system issued a PO number, which is the official process we have internally for you know, accounting for our orders. And the contract was negotiated in advance of that. So that was really the last step. That's when everything was completed. But the order was actually placed in July.
Okay. Because in July, I see plant created purchase request for equipment on July 27th of 21. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Okay. So then... that seems like there would have been several months of delay in terms of, okay, well, at least one, call it 6 weeks from being denied an extension to, because LIDS wasn't going to be a reality. And I'm just trying to get a handle on if you were running both processes parallel to one another and simultaneously, why wouldn't you have pulled the trigger right away on ordering the equipment if you were actively reviewing ADLS as well as LIDS at the same time?
I think that we do have an internal process that's a bit bureaucratic, but I think that we decided to pull the trigger in May. And that kicked off the process of acquiring the internal approvals, negotiating and executing the contract, and placing the order. So okay. I would say that it was late May when we pulled the trigger on all the processes required to acquire the equipment officially and be bound to pay for it.
Okay, internally, but in terms of the vendor selling you the equipment, that happened on July 27th? That's yeah. When they knew that they had made the sale, correct?
I'm sorry?
The vendor, they knew that they had sold the equipment to you. You had entered into an agreement, a purchase agreement, at that point in time on July 27th, but prior to that, you were going through the internal processes that, as you described, are, and I can appreciate that, somewhat bureaucratic in nature. But so really, it probably took, you know, just generally speaking, several months. If that had moved twice as fast, it only taken 1 month, you'd probably be, you know, hitting the deadline, correct?
I don't think that affected the deadline, and the reason is because when we ordered the equipment with the vendor, they knew that we were proceeding, and it was a matter of getting the paperwork in order. So, I don't think that the vendor was sitting on his hands waiting for a purchase order number to come through, sometime later. I think that they began the manufacturer process.
Okay.
They certainly knew that we were committed to acquiring the equipment. It was certainly known that we didn't have another option without lids. That was our option, so we had to pursue it.
Okay, and I can appreciate, okay, you made the shift internally, but it does, I'm just trying to rationalize, were they truly running parallel, or did ADLS to some degree go to the back burner? Because if lids fell through and you were in jeopardy of not hitting the deadline, that the steps would have been, you would have taken the necessary steps to pull the trigger on ADLS immediately, within days, literally having those pieces in place. But again, then it backs up to July 27th, so it doesn't seem like that was the case. And I know it's easier said than done. We don't live in a perfect world, but it just seems like there was quite a delay in terms of finally getting that order placed, and then everything backs up from there.
Yeah, I do have to apologize for our internal processes. It's something that we have to work with. But I would say that based on the timelines for the equipment that we had estimated in late 20 and early 21, we were on track to meet the deadline, albeit you can always start earlier. That is certainly the case. And some of those estimates became elongated. So that was one of the issues. But we shifted even prior to the denial of the extension request to acquiring the equipment full steam. And we had a kickoff meeting with the manufacturer on July 21st. And a week later, we were on the road to having everything in process.
Okay. And then just a couple of quick follow-up, because you kind of get to a point, or I'm getting to the point where I'm just beating up on the same things over and over again, but just for my own decision-making process, they're key components. Were you aware, I'm assuming you were aware of the commission's discussions, the discussions we were having here at the commission on the prospect of lids versus ADLS?
We were, and I think the situation changed over the course of the year, but early on in 2021, our understanding was that there was some consideration for an extension, which is why we sought one in March of 2021.
And were you aware, as a part of the lids discussion we were having here, that we were trying to be clear in that we were looking at this as a potential, but describing it as a pilot project, if you will, for one facility, and that others shouldn't bank on lids becoming a reality? Because we simply didn't know at our end. I think we stated that multiple times, that we were willing to explore it, but or was the latter not as clear to you?
Yeah, I think that that was understood, and certainly the decision from our management was that it was worth seeking an extension if it was possible. But I would say that another aspect that affected the decision making was the optimism of the lids manufacturer, that that it would be approved by FAA, and that turned out not to be accurate. Maybe it was more hopeful than accurate, and that was part of the calculation as well.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions for you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You bet. Thank you. Okay, Jeffrey, just a couple follow-ups. I will say the Exhibit A that you talked through with Commissioner Crosius and what's included in that and what you're saying are somewhat different. And so I think that you guys could have done a better job in this timeline of providing the relevant information and not just filling it with dates to make it look like a lot was going on, because that's how it feels to me when I look at this. There's a lot of stuff included in here that it's really hard to tell what it is and why it mattered. But anyway, that's kind of beside the point. That's just the feedback for your future filings. Were you aware of how the commission approached and handled failures by other companies to meet the deadline 2 years ago that existed for ADLS? Are you aware of how we handled that?
I'm sorry, I'm not aware of a deadline from 2 years ago. I assume it didn't apply to us.
No, there was a different wave of facilities that had a deadline 2 years ago, 2 years earlier to be met, facilities that were constructed after 2016. And there was quite a lot of attention given to that 2 years ago when some of those companies were failing to meet that deadline. And so I would think that the industry would have understood pretty clearly that we take the deadlines seriously. So I don't have any additional questions for you on the specifics or on the timeline. I think you've explained kind of what you guys did and the timeline you did it under pretty clearly to my colleagues. So I don't have any additional questions for you. Brian, do you have questions?
Just to respond to your question about the other wave of deadlines, I apologize. We were not aware of that. I think we paid attention to the deadline that applied to us, and we've only got one facility that operates in the state. So I don't think that entered our calculation.
Okay. Brian Johnson from our staff has some questions.
Just to clarify a couple things, the basis for your extension request is technical reasons and not financial or economic reasons, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And it's probably in your timeline and I don't have that in front of me, but did the shipping on all of this stuff change on you, or were the delays just built into when the order was put in? I mean, you didn't put the order in and they said it's going to be here in October, and then they're like, oh no, we're having problems, it's going to be January.
There was a combination of issues that led to delay. Our original estimate was delivery in October. So we're talking over 2 months of additional delay related to manufacture. And I think that the shipping concern, you know, from the risk of putting the equipment on a boat, which would take as much as 2 months, and I think in the fall of this year we were seeing a lot of shipping delays worldwide, and that was a risk that we reduced by shipping to air freight. That was an additional five-figure cost, but I think that the delay had to do with the availability of components like switches and semiconductors that would go into the equipment, the manufacturer was delayed beyond the original estimate of October.
Okay. Is your company aware that there are 10 other projects with the same deadline that we're able to already meet and get into operation by this point?
I'm certain other companies are taking their own approaches and may have succeeded, but we haven't been tracking other folks. Most have been working on our putting all efforts into meeting the deadline, despite the delays.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any further questions.
Okay. No more questions from our staff. Just looking around one more time. Any more questions, Brian or Randy?
I don't.
Okay, we don't have any more questions for you, Jeffrey. If you have any other witnesses you'd like to bring forward, you sure can at this time.
I'll just check with my team, but it seems like we don't have any other information to provide, other than, you know, we can provide a summary. If you think it would be helpful, we can update the Exhibit A. If you don't think it's helpful and that the information we've provided here is sufficient, you know, we don't need to go through that extra step.
Okay, I'll see. Personally, I don't think I need it summarized, but if you guys would like that, you can. Otherwise, I was planning to bring forward an order at our next meeting.
I don't need any. I think, Madam Chair, my line of questioning covered the questions that I had. So.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding the specific filing that is being discussed. I think now, Jeffrey, you offered to update that November 2nd timeline, and that's what I am thinking, that I don't need that, an update of that. But earlier on when you started, you talked about sending in a written summary of today's comments. Is that what fellow commissioners are saying you don't need, or? Okay.
Yeah.
How long would that take you to have the summary? I don't need the update to the November timeline. You've updated us orally here. But how long, were you going to do a summary of your comments today?
Yeah, I can file it as an update of Exhibit A or as a summary of the comments that we've made. I kind of look at them as one and the same. And I would put that together today after this call, and if I could email it to Mr. Johnson, I don't see why you couldn't have it by the end of the day.
I would welcome that.
Okay. That sounds good. So we'll get that filed and added to the record, and then upon the receipt of that, then the record will be closed. All right. Well, I think we've gotten through all the information today. Thank you to you and your team for providing information and following up in an expedited manner. And we will take it all into consideration and get you guys a decision here as soon as possible. With that,
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate your consideration.
I'm sensing that there's no one from the public that wants to make comments.
But yeah, just to we do need to do that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we have no one.
All right. There is nobody online for public comments. So, all right. With that, then, the hearing on PU 05-47 is over. Thank you.